Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wombat Sports Podcast here on blogtalkradio.com, also wombatsports.com and gofightlive.tv. I'm Mark McKee, I'm your host. We know we're doing a special show today because our guest cannot make it tomorrow, so I'm really excited to have her on, actually. She's going to be turning pro in the MMA realm pretty soon, but before that, we're going to get to see her do some boxing coming up in a couple weeks in September. It'll be her boxing debut as well. I mean, it's great to be able to have her. She's a really accomplished striker. She was a part of the Tough Enough Invicta contract tournament right now, and she's a very accomplished striker out of Texas. Gianna Denizard is on with us right now. I'm hoping I'm not butchering your name at all.
Oh, no, that's how you say it. Gianna Denizard, good job.
Good, awesome. How's everything going with you?
It's good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, now, sorry to say that your opponent kind of dropped out of your next fight. We're, you know, kind of crossing our fingers you get another opponent. But I think it's great to be able to see you, kind of make that next step. You have a really good, solid amateur record right now. What were your thoughts about, trying to go pro at this point?
I mean, about her dropping out or me not having a fight? I'm sorry, it cut out.
Oh, okay. I was just mentioning that, sorry to say that she dropped out of the fight, but hopefully you get an opponent, but with that being said, you're getting ready to turn pro. Kind of tell us a little bit about your thought process in terms of that.
Yeah, I mean, I was really looking forward to turn pro, fighting Fatima. Things happen, she pulled out for her reasons. But I mean, I haven't fought in a year. But like I said, everything happens for a reason. I'll be focusing on my boxing debut. I really don't think I'm going to get an opponent for the next 2 weeks. So, I've had a few, opponents that said that they would, and they also didn't take the fight as well. So, I mean, only so much you can do.
Yeah, and you really don't want to fight somebody that's 2 weeks out, it's tough for them to be able to first of all, you kind of make the weight and kind of go into that gear. There's some girls that are like that, that are always in ready and in shape and all that as well. But there isn't a lack of opponents for you, and especially in Texas, where the scene has grown so much over the past couple of years. I mean, I'm pretty sure you've seen that as well, that we've seen a lot of talent out of Texas and the surrounding states, kind of make their rounds as well. I mean, how do you perceive what's going on in the scene right now down in Texas?
I mean, in Texas, especially for the 115ers, it's a huge pool of females that are great. I mean, you have the wrestlers, you have the strikers, you have one type of fighter, and I'm really glad about that. A lot of potential matchups for me. Some girls that I'll probably rematch as a pro that I fought as an amateur. But I mean, it runs the gamut with the girls in Texas, and a lot of them I know personally. It's kind of hard not to know them. But I'm really excited about that, possible matchups that are coming up soon for me.
Yeah. Not to mention, I mean, you're 4-0 currently in Muay Thai, and the scene's opening up there too. Legacies has their series going on, their Muay Thai series going on as well. Is that something that you're thinking about as well? That, obviously you're going into boxing a little bit now. Is Muay Thai still something in the back of your mind that you might go into off and on when you don't have an MMA fight or a boxing fight?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I took the boxing fight. Though I was more so focusing on MMA because the opportunity came up. So I'm really willing to fight in any medium, whether it's boxing, MMA, Muay Thai, even jiu-jitsu competitions. I started out as a striker, but I like to evolve and become an overall well-rounded fighter. So whether it's kickboxing, Muay Thai, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm also in school, so juggling school and a fight schedule it'll be a little bit much this semester, but I'll make it happen.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I mean, I that seems to be a trend that I absolutely love seeing. It's the fact that a lot of these fighters are deciding to take college and take school while they're training MMA. And I know it's a lot of a load and it's a lot of balance, but You know, I think it's something that a lot of guys don't think about, you know. A lot of guys don't think about the fact that, you know, first of all, you're not going to be able to fight forever. And second, there's no necessarily guessing how successful you're going to be in the sport. And there's not very many girls that actually make a solid living out of it.
Yeah, very true. I actually know a couple personally. I know Invicta announced it when a close friend of mine, Jen, just got her master's, and it's kind of an inspiration to me because I'm going for medicine and just seeing a lot of girls. And I've even got messages from younger girls, maybe in high school, middle school. They're like, I haven't really seen this. And it seems to be a new trend where there is girls like Tisha and different ones that do have a college degree, but a lot of us are trying to juggle school and fighting to show that we're more than fighters. We have more to offer than just fighting. We're not only fighting because that's all we can do. That's all we're good at. So it's good to see. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, I love the trend, you know, and it seems like just based on statistics, I think there's a lot more girls that do have degrees, you know, just percentage wise than the guys do. And like I said, I absolutely love that idea. And I think more of the guys into things got to think about that too. You know, that, you know, having that degree in your back pocket means a lot, you know, in terms of what you can do and all that as well, you know. So it's great to be able to see that as well. Any certain direction that you're going to take in medicine? Are you going to become a doctor, a nurse, or any particular direction?
Well, I'm currently going into my junior year of college, going for my bachelor's degree. I'm hoping to become an orthopedic surgeon. I mean, I still have a lot of years ahead of me, but I've worked for an orthopedic surgeon. I've been in the surgeries, and I really love it. It's kind of a smooth transition as far as medicine goes, to go from playing in sports to being essentially a sports medicine doctor. But I do want to do more than just be a doctor. I want to be a surgeon. It's a lot to juggle, honestly. Now I'm at the point where I really have to grind and take most of my advanced sciences and different things like that. And again, it can change the further I get once I get past medical school and into my residency. I've heard of many people changing from heart surgery to brain surgery to orthopedic surgery. I mean, it just ranges. So I'm going for orthopedics, but once I get down the line, it could change.
Yeah, I know there's a South African fighter that actually is a surgeon, literally a surgeon.
And
then she did his fighting. So yeah, and then Rosie Sexton, who's nicknamed the surgeon, actually she isn't a surgeon, but she's a doctor. You know, she does that. You know, she does that as well. I mean, she's in her retirement and she's still helping out in terms of physiotherapy over in England. So there's plenty of ladies that are right in your footsteps or where you could be in the next couple of years. So it's great to be able to see that there's those opportunities for you, you know, come post fighting. But it's great to be able to see that you'll be able to juggle that as well. Now, what's been interesting about your career is the fact that you know, you were in Texas. And you mentioned that you fought a lot of people in the region, in the area. What was it like for you to take part in the Tough Enough Invicta tournament?
I mean, it was great. My biggest fight was for Tough Enough in front of 15,000 people. That opportunity alone opened a lot of doors for me. Got my name out there. The first round against Jamie, nothing against Jamie. She's killing it in Invicta right now. Shout out to Jamie. She's a close friend of mine as well. But I fought her in the first round and she won. The second round, it wasn't for the title, but I really feel like I was able to redeem myself. I was playing it a little bit safe, but I got the win. But as far as Tough Enough, a lot of the big names in MMA now, whether in the UFC, Bellator, wherever it is, as most people know, Ronda Rousey, Chris Holdsworth, I mean, a lot of big names. I've fought on the Tough Enough stage, so I feel like Tough Enough is a proven ground and kind of gets fighter's name out there. I'm really impressed with the promotion and how they treat their fighters. It's almost like you're fighting as a professional, and they treat you like that. And so, I mean, would I do it again? No, because I'm turning pro, but if the opportunity did come up like for something like that, but I would definitely do it again. I recommend any of the fighters who really want to get their name out of there, go for Tough Enough. I mean, there is different avenues to get to the top, but Tough Enough is a major name in the game.
Yeah, and you know, it's more of a national amateur organization, which a lot of places can't say that. And you're facing people from other parts of the country, and I've always harped on this, the fact that you can't get comfortable in a region and just kind of ease back and try to fight people in the region, because there's so much other competition out there that you have to test yourself against. And obviously you had that opportunity against Jamie to be able to test yourself, and you're right, Jamie's absolutely killing it right now. It's insane to see how much she's climbed up fast in terms of
yeah.
practice. I don't think it's a diss at all that you lost to her. I think it's actually endearing that you end up losing to the gal that's probably going to be one of the top 115 pounders in the next year right now.
Definitely.
So, but anyway, speaking of which, I think you had the opportunity to actually go over to Syndicate to train with Jamie and the gals over there. What was that like?
Yeah, that was an awesome experience. I trained with Jamie and Roxanne Modafari and another one of my friends, Serena DeJesus. I mean, those girls are really awesome. They're really welcoming. They grind just as hard as I do, and it's good to experience different gyms and the way they train. I try not to do it too much with girls in my weight class, but after I fought them, I mean, it's cool. Yeah, the guys over at Syndicate, John Wood, I mean, he's an amazing coach as well. And as far as going to different gyms and training with different girls, I've done that a lot over the past year, trying not to go too much with people in my weight class, but I've been training with some of the 125ers and 105ers just to get different looks, because my gym, it's really thorough, but I train with guys all the time. And so it kind of helped me see where I fared, whether it's wrestling with different girls or rolling with different girls, just going to different people to get different looks. And so you're not stagnant, so you're not one-dimensional. So that really has helped me.
Yeah, and, you know, once in a while you can take a couple tricks back to your own gym as well and kind of show something that maybe people don't realize is there or not as well. I noticed that a lot in terms of I've went to a couple BJJ gyms in Portland, and I learned a lot from there. Or you know, having people come in and all that as well. So it's like it's interesting to be able to see some sharing in terms of that. I mean, obviously they're not going to say show you all your tricks, but once in a while, you know, you get one of those tricks that you'd be able to show some of the guys. I'm pretty sure you've had that experience where you've probably taken something to the gym and the guys were kind of impressed by it.
Yeah, I think a lot of times it's actually the other way around. My gym was, it's kind of underground. My coach is not too much, not necessarily underground as far as like Fight Club or anything, but my coach was really about building his fighters and building champions. And he didn't do too much advertising as far as getting his own name out there. He worked to get his fighters really good. And so when I would go to different gyms, I mean, I never did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I always did no-gi. And most people knew me as a striker. But going and training with other gyms, it helped get our name out there, yes. But it helped me to see how far I've actually come. How I fare against purple belts, brown belts, I mean, blue belts. I mean, it's interesting to see, because you are at your home, and I'm going with guys bigger than me. So sometimes I get beat up and it's like, man, maybe I need to work on this really hard, or maybe I'm not getting this, maybe I'm not getting that. And then I would get the chance to go to different other gyms and train with other girls and to see how I fare with, girls, world-class athletes, and it's a great experience. It's definitely a confidence booster. I feel like I've evolved over the past year of not being able to fight, and my confidence has raised and different things like that. So I'm excited to show what I have and what has evolved about me in my upcoming pro debuts.
How was it for you to pick up the ground game? Has it? I mean, obviously, it's probably been a little bit difficult, but has there been anything that kind of is kind of natural to you to be on the ground? Is there, you know, and do you have certain tendencies in terms of that, or was it pretty much a hard transition throughout?
I wouldn't say it was a hard transition. My coach always pushed me to do ground. By the way, my coach is Eshkadar Brown, but he always pushed me to do groundwork. And I was like, oh, well, my hands are good. And I kind of just dabbled in the ground stuff and did a little bit of no-gi, but it took me having a loss from a rear naked choke to really get in the gym and grind. And at first, some of the techniques weren't clicking. And then just over time, they just started to click. And I've always been athletic. So rolling, I like to roll a lot because I am able to apply all the things that I've learned, because it's one thing to know it going 10%. And then another thing, to be able to hit those moves going live. And so now I feel I'm at the point where I can hold my ground on the ground, no pun intended, but to where before when I was fighting, I was such a striker that I was almost intimidated every time the fight would go to the ground, or I was so intimidated that I tried to keep it standing and I would leave little holes open and it would end up going to the ground. So I feel now I'm pretty competent in the ground. I still, of course, can always work on more. I'm not belted or anything in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but as far as no-gi, I've done a few competitions and I feel well-rounded than ever before.
You know, just coming from a fast back, I've been training for about a year, and there are some aspects that I knew before I came in, but I came back to rolling. I was out for a little bit just due to an injury, and I was rolling the other day, and I kind of realized the fact that there are some things that are now, you know, that are second nature to me. You know, if something mm-hmm. happens, that I know what to do, you know, in terms of defending stuff or moving or order like that as well. Has it happened to you a little bit now, more now that you roll, that you can something comes, clicks really, really quick, and you kind of automatically do it?
Definitely, yeah. It's becoming more second nature to me. There's still things that I need to work on and tweak, but there's things that just automatically, I don't even have to think about it. It's autopilot, boom, I'm going into that. And now that you say that, coming off an injury, I actually injured myself, and that's the reason why I haven't fought in a year. But I pinched a nerve in my C-spine, and then after that, I was training when I shouldn't have been. I didn't want to stay out of the gym, and then I just ended up snapping my ankle. So it forced me, after my ankle healed, all I could really do was the ground. I couldn't focus on any stand-up at all. So over the past, I would say, 6 months, I've been really focusing on the ground, and like as my coach keeps drilling it over and over and over again, the same things, so that it does become second nature. And I'm really excited. It was bittersweet to have those injuries, but at the same time, I did have that time to focus all of my energy on my groundwork.
Ironically, I had injured my ankle earlier this year. I had rolled it when I was rolling with somebody, so I was out for like a month, but I ended up getting back in, and then a couple months after that, I ended up pinching a nerve in my back. So I was good. That was why I was gone for so long. So, yeah. So ironically, I was in the same situation you were. But obviously coming off with the injury, then going back to rolling again. I mean, you know, for me, like I said, it was kind of, you know, I came back and I actually went to a couple of the classes just to observe. And to see mm-hmm. what everybody else is learning, you know, and just as well. And, you know, just going back into rolling this week, it was just like, you know, things, like I said, kind of clicked, you know, automatically, like riding a bike, you know. So
definitely,
it was good to be able
yeah.
to do that as well. I mean, has that been the same thing with you in terms of coming back from an injury?
Yeah, over the time of my injury, my coach was like, don't stay out of the gym. Still come to the gym, still watch. And there's a lot of mental training that I did. I was there to watch it. I was there to go over it in my mind, and kind of, though I'm not physically able to work those drills, I was able to work them and kind of look at the intricate aspects rather than focus on, let me get this move. I'm not pulling hard enough, or I'm not positioning my body this way and that way. I was able to mentally break it down, and that helped me. I mean, it has been about seven or eight months since I've had been off from that ankle injury. I still had that back injury, but during those three, four, five months, I was able to really do a lot of mental training with Grounds Up. And I think that helped me have those things click for me, because before with the ground stuff, it just wasn't mentally clicking for me. So that break, it definitely helped me get some of the pressure off of doing the move to actually just learn the intricate details of the move.
Yeah, speaking of training, I mean, you know, you said you're kind of moving your camp now towards the boxing end of things, and there's so many intricate things that happen in terms of boxing. You don't have to worry about takedowns, so your stance changes a bit. You know, you don't want to worry about kicking, so your stance changes a little bit too. How has it been for you to kind of just change from MMA mode over to boxing mode?
Well, I'm still making that transition, because obviously I thought I would be fighting here in 2 weeks, but I'm really excited for this boxing fight. A lot of girls have always said my hands are really good, and so I have the opportunity to just focus on my hands instead of having to worry about the takedowns and the kicks and different things like that. I feel really comfortable with my hands, and I'm happy to be able to showcase that. I feel like the boxing aspect, it comes natural. I mean, there's a few things that I'm going to be tweaking, but I'm really excited because I haven't heard of a taller strawweight than me. I'm 5'8", so I'm able to usually use my reach no matter who I'm fighting, and the girl I'm fighting for my boxing fight, she's like, I believe, 5'1", 5'2", so she doesn't. As far as when in MMA and I fought these short girls, they were usually wrestlers, or I would always have to worry about the shot. I can just pick off my punches and use my reach and really be able to use my movement and different things like that. I am new to the boxing world as far as being a pro boxer, but my coach is doing a good job of introducing me to all of that. The girl I'm fighting does have a lot more experience than I do as an amateur and as a pro in boxing, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think I was having an interesting discussion last night on Twitter about length and punching, because I was watching the Peggy Morgan fight last night. And her boxing has gotten better, and I could see that a little bit more. And someone had mentioned the fact that you know, having to punch downward was, you know, for a longer fighter, for somebody against a shorter fighter, said that was probably a problem for a lot of people. And obviously, you were just talking about the idea of you having a little bit of length and a little bit of height on your opponent as well. Have you kind of went over that, and the fact that you're going to be fighting a shorter fighter, and you know, is there anything that goes on in terms of having to tweak your technique in order to accommodate that?
I mean, I don't really see it as a negative. I wasn't able to watch Peggy's fight last night. I know she won, congrats to her, but she is so much taller, but I don't see it as having to punch down necessarily. I do like to change levels and different things like that, but I see it as being able to keep the fighter, whoever I'm fighting, at the end of my punch, at the end of my range. Not necessarily that my hands are longer, but my hands are faster as well than most girls who I fought. So I'm able to snap it in and snap it out, and that distance for them to get travel back. And usually shorter fighters, they want to ride off your punches. It's harder for them to ride off of my punches because the length that they have to travel, as well as the speed that they have to travel it in. So I see it as a huge advantage, especially in boxing. Also, I don't like fighting on the inside, because honestly, I tell people this all the time, I don't like getting hit. So I just don't get hit. I mean, I'm in and out. I feel like I'm a really rangy fighter. I'm really quick. So, I mean, I see that as an all-around advantage. I can kind of understand what they were saying about having to punch down. But my coach does a really good job of teaching me how to change levels and always keep it moving so that I'm not static, having to punch straight down, and have that as a disadvantage to me.
Oh, that's great. It's great to hear. I mean, I look forward to it as well. I mean, I kind of wish, and there's been a kind of a movement right now to try to get more women's boxing on national television or even local television as well. I mean, I'd be interested to see your fight if they were broadcasting it at some point, but we'll have to see. But you know, it's great to have that opportunity to be able to box and all that as well. I think Texas has been pretty good at putting on boxing matches as well, and especially female matches. So it's a great opportunity in order to, you know, test yourself a little bit. And I know a lot of girls, a lot of MMA fighters that are wanting to, you know, test girls over in the boxing ring, and several have. So it's interesting to see the kind of the crossover that we've been seeing in terms of fighters that way, and that they're kind of testing themselves across the all platforms, as it were. So it'll be interesting to see you take on this challenge as well, and hopefully we'll be able to get to see you take on a couple of MMA fighters hopefully before the end of the year.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely be fighting before the year's out in MMA. I'm just trying to get the semester started and see exactly where my classes, how rigorous they'll be, and different things like that. But I'll definitely be fighting MMA, making my pro debut before the year's out.
Well, I mean, that's great to hear. Any sponsors, anybody want to shout out to real quick?
Well, I'd like to thank my coaches over at Dominion Gym in Richardson, Texas. My head coach, Eshkadar, some of the trainers that trained me, Vaughn Govia, Corey VLA, thank you guys so much. I'd like to thank some of my sponsors, Ashton Agency, Machina Boxing. If you guys are in women's MMA, boxing, whatever, if there's a woman in your life, or if you are a woman, you should check out Machina. Their gear is really well made, and they definitely take care of me, as well as my sponsor, CryoSensors of America. And I'd like to thank God, because I feel like he's the one who's given me the abilities that I have, and he's given me this platform and this opportunity. So I'd like to thank him.
That's absolutely awesome. You know, like you said, I kind of wish the boxing match would be, well, hopefully, you know, maybe it might be streamed somewhere. I'll have to take a look and see if it is. But I really look forward to seeing your pro debut in MMA as well. I think that, like I said, you come off a really solid amateur record, and it'll be interesting to see you make that transition over into the pro ranks as well. And definitely follow her on Twitter, follow her on Facebook as well. So make sure you guys check her out. Anything I'm missing? Anything else you want to add?
No, just thank you so much for the opportunity. Hope to be on the show again sometime.
Oh, definitely. Well, we have a lot more to discuss. Hopefully after your pro, or before your pro debut, maybe after it. Best of luck to you coming up in your boxing match, and best of luck to your studies. So we'll talk to you soon.
All right,
bye. Bye. Gianna Denizard, everybody. Denizard on Twitter and also on Facebook. Please take a look and check her out as well. Great to be able to have her on the show. I interviewed her with a Tough Enough tournament, so hopefully there will be another Tough Enough tournament coming up shortly. With that in mind, we'll be back probably a week from tomorrow, our usual time, Sundays, at 1 p.m. Pacific time. I'll see who I will have on the list. We just updated our upcoming fights, and there's a slew of them. You guys can go .com and check out all the stuff that's going on over there, all the stuff. We're trying to get the results from the IFMA World Championship Muay Thai tournament going on in Thailand right now. Some of the best female Muay Thai fighters are currently over there trying to win some championships over there. So we'll hopefully have that as well. Follow us on Twitter at Wombat Sports and Wombat Sports on Facebook. We'll have more on that coming up soon. So we'll see you guys next week. Next week, it's week from tomorrow, it's Sunday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll have an announcement of who our guest is going to be at that point. With that in mind, we'll see you guys next week. Yeah, next week.